Welcome to Motivated to Lead Podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. And our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have with us Chuck Bolton. Chuck is a coach and advisor to CEOs. He has coached over 1,000 executives in his coaching career. He was earlier in his career, he was a VP of HR for Boston Scientific, and he's written 4 best-selling books. He is going to be talking about 2 of his most recent books. The first one is Reinvent Your Impact, Unleashing Purpose, Passion, Productivity to Thrive. And then he's also written another book entitled 19 Fighting COVID-19. Looking forward to our conversation with Chuck today. So happy to have Chuck Bolton joining us as a guest. And Chuck, we've known each other for a number of years, and it's taken a long time to get you on this podcast. So you're a popular guy. But
I don't know about that. I think I was just kind of slow with my writing and didn't really have much to talk about. But here we are. So 2020 has been a little bit of a prolific year, among other descriptors too, right? For 2020.
Yeah absolutely. Well, I read your most recent book and actually am diving into the second one that you've written during this time. And you've timed this just perfect. Your first book, Reinvent Your Impact, came out in March, right? Is that correct?
Yes, it did. Just right at the time the COVID crisis was starting to hit. So it had been a book that that I had envisioned for about a year and a half or so and had been working on it. It's Reinvent Your Impact, Unleashing Purpose, Passion, and Productivity to Thrive. And it's really about leading in a way that's purposeful and putting the rocket fuel behind that of passion and then learning some world-class productivity techniques so that you can really amp up your productivity so you have the kind of time and resources to live the kind of life you'd like to live. And so that came out. Like you said, just during the COVID crisis was hitting the U.S. Not what I was planning for the book.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I guess first off, can you give us we want to dive into the 2 books that you've written recently, but could you give just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your career?
Sure. So I have had 2 careers, I like to say. The first 20 years of my career, I was a human resources executive in the medical device industry. I had worked when I was younger at Baxter Healthcare Corporation and became a divisional vice president of human resources there. And then the last role that I held was that of a group vice president of human resources for Boston Scientific, a big medical device company that acquired a smaller company called SciMed Life Systems, where I was the corporate VP of human resources, and that rolled into Boston Scientific. So that was the first 20 years of my career. And then the second half of my career has been a one where I've been coaching C-suite level leaders in the medical device, life sciences, and healthcare business. And without going into a lot of detail, you know, after a long flight to Singapore, working with a leadership team there, thinking what leaders really need is somebody who's in their corner helping them and their teams become their best. After that thought and some additional due diligence, I decided to leave the corporate world and start this role working with C-suite level leaders. So I've been doing that for the last 20 years. And for the last 5 years or so, I've been writing books. I've been cranking out a book a year, roughly, on the topic of reinvention. And my view is that if we're not continuously reinventing and raising our games, then we find ourselves on a slippery slope. And the world is changing dramatically. This year has been a crazy year. We know that. And to become our best, to really create an impact, we've got to continue to learn and grow and develop and to reinvent.
So your title is Reinvent Your Impact. Can you give us just a quick definition of what you mean by impact?
Yeah, so impact is having a significant effect on somebody or something. And we all want to create a great impact in our lives. Yet oftentimes, if you ask people, are you creating the impact that you could? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? They don't say a 10. They say a 5 or 6. And there are a couple of enemies of impact. And the first one is comfort. You know, we just get too comfortable kind of doing what we do and do one thing, do the status quo, and just kind of bounce from year to year. We don't create the impact that we wish we could. And the other, in today's world, this year especially, is that of confusion. You know, we're working and operating in a different context. Here we are with Zoom, and you know, I just got off a Zoom meeting. You've had several, I'm sure, today. And people are a little confused about this. But we have this desire to flourish and to really have a great impact in our lives. And when we can have an impact, we can thrive. And I think there's a formula for creating greater impact. And so I share that in the book.
Yeah, you'd mentioned in the book that in our lives, we typically would, any lifetime, we influence 10,000 people.
That's right.
Which made me pause and think, wow, 10,000 people, that's a huge number.
It's a huge number. And that's just for the average person. So, you know, imagine if you're a leader of a company, or you own your own business, or you're in clergy, or you're a university professor, it's going to be far more than that.
Right.
We can have an enormous impact on individuals. And so there's a lot of potential there to do more.
You mentioned in the book that, you know, we spend so much time as far as in our lives of, you know, influencing and being a part of that. But, you know, a lot of that is through our work and through what we do as far as in our careers, and that, what, 50% of our time is typically spent at work. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see, you know, you mentioned a number of statistics of people that are just really not flourishing in their lives, and especially in that work. Talk a little bit about percentages that you found in your study, people that are feeling unsatisfied and feeling like they're not making a positive.
Sure. So let me answer that by describing what I see as the formula for creating great impact. And then I'm going to get to some statistics. How's that?
Can
I?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So to reinvent your impact, I think that if you get your purpose defined, you're clear and explicit about your purpose, that is a big first step. And so purpose times passion times productivity equals impact. If we want to create great impact, we need to be operating on purpose. We need to put passion behind that. And then we need some world-class productivity techniques to really perform at our highest level. That way we'll create impact. You can still create impact maybe being purposeful, but and not having the productivity piece, but you won't create as much impact. So the research shows that fewer than 30% of leaders are operating with a sense of purpose or have defined an explicit purpose. That means 70% are operating without a clear sense of purpose. And Mark, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be led by somebody that doesn't have a strong purpose.
Right.
So that's a little alarming. And you know, this book shows you how to mine for and make explicit your purpose. Take you step by step through that. Passion. Only 12% of people, the research shows, are passionate about their work. And passion is something in life, unlike purpose, passion is something that comes and goes. You know, you can think about in your life, there have been topics you've been passionate about that you no longer are passionate about today. Or maybe people that you were once passionate about, but you're not passionate about them today. But if we can put some passion behind that purpose, then that's huge. And the single biggest thing we can do to create passion is to find something we can really commit to. And so that's really powerful. And when you commit to something, you learn more about it. And you know, just have this kind of can-do, I'm not going to quit, really show grit. And that's essential for making your purpose come alive.
Somebody's a new leader and, you know, they're dealing with having to manage virtually, and they're trying to keep, you know, the focus of the team. Is what are some things that they can do as far as a person could do to just to refocus and to keep the goal in mind and not keep, you know, kind of just drifting during these months that
sure.
We're having to deal with this?
It's a great question. And I think there's something very important you can do as a leader, because 70% don't have a sense of purpose, aren't operating on purpose. First thing I do is I get clear about my purpose. And, you know, you start with that by understanding what success is to you. Mm-hmm. And then understanding, secondly, what are the unique gifts that you bring to this world that nobody else has? And I'll show you how to do that in the book. And then third, through a number of purpose framing questions, really mine for and define your purpose. So I'd get clear on my purpose first and foremost if I'm a leader. The second thing I would do is I'd show others how to do the same thing. and then show them how to tie their purposes to the company or organization's broader purpose underneath that umbrella. Mm-hmm. Here's how you can live on purpose and succeed while you still support and reinforce our company's purpose. And that's big. Going back to purpose, something bigger than us. You know, purpose is, the overarching principle for our lives. And when we know what that is, you know, we get out of bed in the morning to pursue that. Mm-hmm. So that might be something I would do as a leader.
So you talk a little bit in the book about, you know, productivity, doing less than obsess is one of the quotes. Talk a little bit about that. I think there's a kind of a framework that you've used as far as for productivity, and I think it would be great for you to share just a little bit about that.
Right. Well, so let me start off by saying I hate to-do lists. To-do lists, we can never get through. We know that. We get frustrated with that. We end up putting the to-do list aside, come back a week later, create a new one, just add more things to it. And that's not the way to do it. The way to really be productive is to understand what is it that you do in whatever profession that you're in. What are the vital few things that you do, the functions that you do that create the greatest amount of value? So let me give you an example. I'm an executive coach, and my three vital functions are as follows. Number one, it's coaching and consulting my clients. Number two, it's doing research and development work. So I need to go out and learn about topics like, let's say, digitization, you know, and bring them ideas on that 12 months before they see that that's an issue. I've got to go do research. I've got to bring them relevant information, or I've got to bring them contacts, or I've got to do something to add value for them. So that's the second thing I do, research and development. And the third thing I do is some business development. As a professional search person, you've got to do business development to make sure you've got the pipeline coming through in the months to follow.
Sure.
So I need to spend 90% of my time on those three vital functions. You've got three vital functions. All your viewers have three vital functions. What are they that create the greatest amount of value? And make sure you're spending 80 to 90% of your time on those. Then, like that, you've got, you know, three vital objectives that you want to be focusing on during a quarter. So what are the three key things you want to do this quarter? Make sure you're putting a huge amount of time into those and chunking those objectives down into key results. So I will make X number of calls by the end of this week. That could be a key result for helping me achieve my objective. Do less, three vital objectives that support your vital functions, supported by these key results or big rocks. And that's what you focus on. And by doing that, you get more done over time because you're super focused on the most important things.
You've got a great story that you tell in the book about a bike ride from Chicago to Kentucky. And I encourage you to get the book to read that story. But I thought that was an interesting one, kind of the objectives that you had for each day and how you kept motivated. And I think it's a great story to kind of, I think we're kind of on that that ride this year.
Yeah, we are indeed. And what Mark is referring to is when I was 21 years old, I lived in the Chicago area. My brother lived in Kentucky. And my brother invited me to a concert in Kentucky, Jackson Browne concert. And I had no way to get there. So I rode a bike. And, I ended up getting 350 plus miles in 3 days. I'd never ridden a bike more than 10 miles. At a time, but I kind of chunked down the ride, and that ride went so well, I decided to keep going after we saw the concert, and I went to Florida, to Jacksonville, Florida. And that was sort of for me, the epiphany of this OKR, objective and key results system that I describe in the book that I think you'll enjoy the story, and you'll likely learn a way to obtain some massive productivity if you put that OKR system in your life.
Yeah, that's great. Great story. I've ridden 20 some miles. I cannot imagine in a stretch riding that far. So
we were 21 back then.
A little bit.
Our 10 rages today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, talk a little bit about you've written this the second book that came out with the title is 19 Fighting COVID-19. And talk a little bit about that as far as just kind of, I know it's definitely built around the times we're living, but talk a little bit about the idea behind it.
Thank you. So as mentioned, Reinvent Your Impact came out just around the time we were closing down and you know, working from home. And people were asking, you know, is it still relevant? Can you still create an impact in this crazy world that we're in right now, where we're socially distanced and all this? And the answer is, of course you can. And so I went out and looked for individuals that were creating an impact during the pandemic. And I featured them first in stories I put on my blog, the Creating Impact blog. If you go to the Bolton Group and look for the blog, it's called Creating Impact. And there's stories about these individuals that are doing wonderful things. ICU nurses, hairstylists, CEOs of medical device companies, a woman who leads the bus drivers for a school district, a Hennepin County commissioner that is doing great things, and just examples of people who are creating impact in the form of a short story. It's a very inspiring, uplifting book around people who are creating impact in real time. As I was writing these, the George Floyd killing occurred. And so I kind of expanded the charter a bit to look for people who were creating an impact during the social injustice pandemic that we're in too, that we've become more sensitive to as Caucasian Americans, but has been around for over 400 years. And so I profiled some individuals that are doing great things then. So 83 days after releasing Reinvent Your Impact, I published 19 Fighting COVID-19 with 19 powerful, impactful, inspiring stories of people who are really doing great things to better serve others, to make this world a better place in this crazy time that we're in right now. And lots of great comments. Both books became bestsellers. The 19 Fighting COVID-19, it became a bestseller in the U.S. and in Canada and also in Australia. People just love the stories, and encourage your listeners to check those out, or maybe even just go check the blog and check a couple of stories out and see what they think. But really, it was a lot of fun to write, to personalize examples of people creating great impact.
So outside of work, Chuck, what do you do to recharge?
Well, I've got we have what we call our Fabulous 14. So my wife and I, we've got five children, two sons-in-law, and five grandchildren, with a sixth one coming early next year, God willing. So a lot of time with family. Of course, it's been challenging to do that.
And sure,
we're fortunate. We've got a swimming pool, and you know, we've been able to kind of area out back that we can kind of spread out in. And so we've been enjoying that this summer. My wife is an elementary school music teacher and a music performer. And so part of her way to create impact is when the bars and music venues closed down, and we love live music, she began doing a Facebook Live event every Friday night at 8 p.m. And has done 27 straight ones, providing live music to folks, and gets about 6,000-7,000 people a week that'll tune into this. At Mary Bolton Music. She was recognized by the governor in May, the governor of Minnesota, Governor Walz's Good Story of the Day. And so that was kind of nice. But we produce that show every Friday night. And so that takes a little bit of time. And we like to ride bikes, go for walks. And, I like to coach my clients. It gives me juice, reading as well, great books, and really kind of focusing on great, inspiring ideas. That keeps me recharged and rolling. Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Well, you've written a number of books outside of your books, which I encourage people to read. What other authors do you recommend to your clients or books that you think would be beneficial for people to read?
There's so many. You know, I love the Jim Collins books, right? You know, about great companies and sustaining greatness. I'm reading a book now about Bill Campbell called Trillion Dollar Coach. And Bill was just an iconic figure out in Silicon Valley in helping coach the founders and leaders at Google and Apple and so many other companies. And he's just done great work as well. And so that's a great book I'm reading. I'm a former baseball player, and I'm reading a book right now called K's, and it's about 10 different pitches that are profiled, and the pitchers that had success around those pitches. And so I like to read, you know, books about baseball when I'm not too busy. And I'm just a voracious reader. I like John Ortberg's books, a Christian author, and Mark Batterson's books as well. He's also a Christian author, to kind of uplift me spiritually as well too. So just a wide variety of things, you know, every day, kind of Wall Street Journal and New York Times, Washington Post on the iPad while I'm on my exercise bike. And I'm reading Rage by Bob Woodward right now. So I'm halfway through that. And I wouldn't say that is inspiring me, but, you know, it's just something to continue to learn more about and to enjoy reading.
Well, thanks, Chuck, for I won't ask you. You've written two books recently. You probably have another one in mind or in at least down the road. But
I've got some ideas, but it's a little early for me to you know, having done 283 days, I'm taking a little bit of a breather from writing.
Yeah, right. So yeah,
absolutely. I'll let you know down the road.
Great. Well, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate your thoughts. It was, and I encourage people to pick up your books and definitely check out. Again, give the site where they can find out more about what you're doing.
So I think the best place to learn about the books is going to Amazon. And you can go to my author page, Chuck Bolton, and you can see the books that I've written there. You can also go to theboltongroup.com and you learn a little bit more about me and the work that I do coaching CEOs and senior leaders.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.